Well, that was supposed to be the hottest team in hockey. The 10 wins in a row, Calgary Flames, who are seemingly unstoppable, and they hit a wall tonight. They got absolutely shelled by the Vancouver Canucks of all teams, who have had their scoring woes at times this season, but not tonight. Two goals from Bo Horvat, two goals from JT Miller, two goals from Elias Pettersson, and don't forget about Connor Garland in the mix as well. And don't forget about Thatcher Demko back there also being an absolute wall up until about 2 minutes left as the Canucks take down the Calgary Flames 7-1 here on a Thursday night. A dominant performance, the first game back wearing the black skate jersey this year. And it seems to have worked out. Maybe there's something to this jersey. Hey, as always, we'll break this game down and then we'll get your thoughts, your takes, your opinions on this game, how it went. You guys know the deal at this point. You've been here before. So let's start from the top. It's the Canucks. It's the Flames. It's Jacob Markstrom back in his old barn. Thatcher Demko, the return of Tyler Toffoli, first time in a Flames uniform in Rogers Arena. And like I said, 10 straight wins for Calgary. This seemed like a game that was just one that the Canucks are going to run into, probably lose, and then we'll move on and we'll see what happens later on down the road. Most of the fan base is sort of resigned to, you know, not playoffs aren't going to happen this year. It's been a fun run. They've sort of fallen off the wagon a little bit. You know, places have between 6 and 10% chance. It's probably not going to happen. But hey, we can enjoy the game and hope for the best, and maybe it'll be a fun one. And my goodness, it was. Canucks get the first power play of the game in the first period. Blake Coleman with the best chance. The first power play, bad for the Canucks. Demko makes a great poke check on that breakaway for Blake Coleman. The Canucks' best chance of the period comes from a setup by the Pettersson line. It's with Hoglander and Podkolzin. Hoglander just works hard down low, feeds Podkolzin alone in front. Markstrom makes a really nice glove save. Even first period, though, shots were 11-11. This seemed like we'd be in for a pretty even game, although I was a bit worried. The Canucks have been quite inconsistent in games, I think it's fair to say, where they have a pretty good period, then they won't get a shot for like 12 minutes. But tonight, that wasn't the case. Canucks go to an early power play. Travis Hamonic drawing that penalty. Canucks set up nicely. They're being a little hesitant to shoot, but then when they finally do shoot, it's Elias Pettersson. And it is textbook Elias Pettersson. It is a one-timer from the top of the right face-off circle. It is absolutely labeled for the top corner. Markstrom gets a piece of it with his stick, just enough to change the direction a little bit, maybe make sure it's going in, as it might have caught post and gone out. Gets a piece of it. It's bar down. It is beautiful. And it's 1-0 Vancouver about 4 minutes in to the second period. Then Flames the other way. Rasmus Anderson is basically all by himself. Demko doesn't have his stick. He's at the top between the two face-off circles, top of the slot, and he flashes the leather. It is a beautiful save from Demko, looking so good in that Kirk McLean uniform. So, so nice. And it's still 1-0. Canucks get another power play. Monahan off for a high stick, and this time it is JT Miller. And it again is an absolute snipe. This time from the left side of the offensive zone, he just takes a step in. It is a wrist shot. He rips it under the bar. Basically unsavable, right? Like, it is one where it is placed absolutely perfectly high stick side, which seems to be the read on Jacob Markstrom. And it is a perfectly placed shot. It is 2-0 for the Canucks. And just 32 seconds later, Canucks break out of the zone 2-on-1. It is Tyler Mott and Brock Besser. Tyler Mott likes to shoot it on those, and he does. And basically, him and Besser and the one Calgary defenseman and the guy who was coming back to help as well, they all end up going behind the goal line, and the puck ends up sitting in the slot, and Bo Horvat is the only guy left. Coming in as the trailer, he comes in, a really nice shot. He brings it in, goes far side against the grain. He's left-handed and he shot it left side. Those are tough to save, because basically you're sort of opening the face of the stick and shooting it that way. Really well-placed shot away from his body. He makes it 3-0. Late in the second period, a fourth Flames penalty. Coleman takes a tripping penalty on Tyler Myers. Pettersson rips one that goes off of the knob of the goal stick. And then something crazy happens. Jacob Markstrom's skate blade breaks. Now, the thing about skates, nowadays, they've had some technological innovations where if you look at a skate, there's this little plastic piece right here, and this is a trigger. if you pull this, the skate blade comes loose and you can actually pull it out. And it's, you can, I can say I'm moving it. I don't want to actually take it out because I don't know if I can get it back in. But basically, you can quickly swap blades if a blade breaks. It takes 20 seconds. His skates don't have that. I'm not sure why that is. Kevin Woodley pointed out that he doesn't have a blade swappable skate. So we would have to go get new skates. And so Vladar has to come in with 2 minutes to go in the second period. 1:46 to go, basically. And the Canucks score on a really nice play. Brock Besser fires it cross crease at JT Miller. It hits Miller in the skates. It goes right across to Bo Horvat. Vladar sliding over, thinking it's going to be a shot by Miller, but it goes over to Horvat. Has a wide open net. Second of the night, wide open net, 4-0 Vancouver. And then I'll be honest. I got up. I went and grabbed myself a glass of water from the kitchen. I came back. I was like, wait, it's 5-0 now? What happened? Rewind the PVR. Turns out with about 4 seconds left, 5 seconds left or so in the second period, a mad scramble in front and Rasmus Anderson dives on the puck. You can't do that. If a defenseman covers the puck in their own crease, it is a penalty shot. And that the ref makes the right call. He points at the net a couple of times, which is like, wait, it's not an automatic goal. And then he points at center. So it is a penalty shot for the Canucks, up 4-0. And they put out JT Miller. JT Miller always does the same thing on a shootout, on a penalty shot. He comes in really slow down the one side and then he cuts across the goalie. And that gives you some options, right? You can see how the goalie's moving. You quick shot, short side, far side. You have a lot of options available to you. Five hole, or you can make a deke. And what he does is he pulls it backhand kind of slowly and looks like he's going to just try to go backhand shelf and then quickly pulls it back to the forehand and slides it into the open net to make it 5-0, his 20th of the season, his second of the night, second of the period, and it's 5-1, or 5-0, sorry. A 5-goal second period from the Vancouver Canucks with no answer from the Calgary Flames. So we go to the third period. Markstrom doesn't bother coming back out. It's 5-0. They're not coming back in this game, so Vladar comes in. The Flames do get a goal. It doesn't count. It's goalie interference. And the Canucks barely get on the board. And I say barely because it is a really nice play where a shot from Tanner Pearson leaves a huge rebound for Connor Garland. It comes to him. He's got a wide open net. And I mean a wide open net. Vladar is gone. It is a wide open net. And he shoots it perfectly, basically dead center of the net. And Vladar diving to his right gets the paddle on it, but not enough. It ramps the paddle and hits the top of the net. So it still goes in. Garland gets his 14th of the season to make it 6-0. And then the Canucks are on the penalty kill. Elias Pettersson gets a breakaway shorthanded, and he absolutely snipes it, and it's 7-0. They almost make it 8-0. Tyler Mott hits both posts, and he thought it was in. It wasn't. There's some mayhem late. The Flames weren't taking the loss particularly well, and that's fair. You know, you just won 10 in a row, and you're getting shelled 7-0. You get frustrated. Goudreau gets kicked out after he got high-sticked, and there was no penalty call, so he was chirping the ref. Ref kicked him out. I think Lucic got kicked out at the end. I wasn't really paying too much attention there. A bunch of people got kicked out. They were trying to throw hits and it was like, all right, yeah, I understand why you're doing it. It doesn't look great, but either way, they do score one late. It is Mangiapane, breaking the shutout with about 2 minutes left. Some poor defense. And they had guys like Podkolzin on the ice there. And I don't think he played it very well. Kind of surprised he did that. And not like just put the Tyler Mott line out there for the last 2 minutes and try to just eat the rest of the game. But that's it. The Canucks win this one 7-1, a dominant performance over the Calgary Flames where they just couldn't miss tonight. All their scores were hitting their shots. I mean, the shots in this game, what were they? I have where's my lovely stats machine? 38-30. But a lot of those were in the third period, right? The Canucks had 14 of their shots in the third period, 13 in the second, 11 in the first. But the Canucks just played a very solid all-around game tonight. Thatcher Demko was great. Their players were scoring, you know, 7 goals and 38 shots is a nice night. They didn't need all 7. They could have got away with a few less. But on a night where they're rocking the black skate jersey, they had the awesome Black History Month jerseys in the warm-up that I'm sad that they're so expensive on the auction. I just looked, and, like, even the Hamonic one's going for $1,000. That's a little out of my price range, but Buble was rocking it. That's a big plus. But here are my pluses, my minuses for this game for the Vancouver Canucks. My biggest plus, 7 goals, all from stars. The players who you want to score on the Canucks, basically except for Brock Besser, who had only two assists tonight, all scored. Pettersson gets two. Miller gets two. Horvat gets two. By the way, Elias Pettersson has 16 goals now. That's what, like 10 goals in his last like 18 games or something. I haven't been keeping track too closely, but it's something around there. Like, he is on an absolute hot streak right now. He's totally back. It seems like he also gets the assist. So it's a 3-point night for Elias Pettersson. JT Miller has a 4-point night on the board, 2 goals, 2 assists. That trade value just going up for the 6th time in his career. He hits 4 points, 2nd time this season. The shooting, like I said, it seemed like the Canucks couldn't miss, and it helps when their shots were just perfectly placed, right? The 2 Pettersson goals were unreal shots. The first Miller goal was an unreal shot. What was the second one? The second one was the penalty shot. That's good too. The 2 Horvat goals, one was a well-placed shot and one was just picking up a nice little pass and tucking it in. And then Garland was a fine shot, kind of the only thing he could do there. So shooting was good. The shooters were shooting. Other pluses on this game. Power play. Canucks power play goes, I think, 3 for 7 officially. Calgary Flames only had 34 penalty minutes tonight. So 14 minutes of minors, and then there's the 2 misconducts. So those are 10. Lucic and Goudreau each getting ejected. So that's, 10 minutes each. But Canucks only took 1 penalty tonight. That is big. There could have been one on that high stick on Highmore, but again, that late, it doesn't really matter. I don't think things were called that unfairly, to be honest. I think the Flames got frustrated and took some extra penalties. It didn't feel like the reffing was too egregious. And it's weird to say that because refs are very, very heavily usually on the let's even things up. If one team has 4 power plays, the other team guaranteed has between 3 and 5 usually, right? But the power play was clicking tonight. Penalty kill goes 1 for 1. We'll take those. Actually, they scored on the penalty kill. That's even better than 1 for 1. That's 2 for 1. That's how it should count on the stat. They should have some way of quantifying that. Thatcher Demko gets a big plus for me. Stops 29-30. There were some excellent saves. That glove save that he made. He made a couple of really nice pad saves, one going the other way. So Demko was phenomenal. And my last plus, it's the biggest one. It was just the amount of style on the ice tonight. Whether it's the black skate jerseys that the Canucks were wearing, honestly, those Flames jerseys are really nice too. Demko's pads, the Kirk McLean tribute, they were so beautiful. The Black History Month jerseys are absolutely fire that they wore in warm-up. Everything was just perfect tonight for the Vancouver Canucks, style-wise, skill-wise, everything just was awesome. And if you're going to score 7 goals and you're going to get some highlight reel goals that are going to be shown on Sportsnet, SportsCenter, nice to be wearing some nice gear while that happens. Some minuses. Shutout got broken. That sucks. Demko doesn't get the shutout, but I don't think he'll be too broken up about it. And then injuries. Travis Hamonic left the game. I don't know if he came back. I think he left in the 3rd period. He played only 13:42 tonight. Looked like maybe after blocking a shot. I don't know if there's any updates on Hamonic. And then Jason Dickinson, who I have given some heat to lately. Bit of heat checking on Jason Dickinson, but look, the Canucks need depth, right? And if they're trying to win some hockey games, Jason Dickinson, or if they're trying to maybe get some trade value for a guy like Jason Dickinson, having him healthy is very important. So it is unfortunate that he got hurt. Only played 5 minutes tonight. Other things that are nice, ice time was pretty even out tonight. I do want to take a look at the old analytics, natural stat trick. Let's pull this up really quickly. Canucks 7, Flames 1. All situations, expected goals, pretty even on the night. Expected goals were 3 for the Canucks and 2.77 for the Flames. Clearly not what happened. High danger chances were 11 to 11. So pretty even, at least analytically, but the Canucks just had higher quality shots, was really what it seemed to be. Even if the chances might not have been necessarily higher quality, the shots themselves were, and that was the difference maker. And that's something that analytics can sort of miss out on. Right. And the goaltending was worse, and that is important as well. All right, let's get to your thoughts, your takes as we, keep going here. I'll bring up the comment machine. We are going to cut off in probably about 15, 20 minutes, or, we've been going for 15. So probably about 20 minutes. So get your questions in now so I have a better chance of getting to them. Let's see here. Steve saying Parker do a celebration dance. I refuse. I appreciate the request. Lauren saying, well, if we don't make the playoffs, we have this game to remember. And there usually is a couple of those games every year, right? There was the game, the 9-goal game against Boston a couple years ago. That was memorable. This game will be pretty memorable. So that is nice. Colton saying plan the parade. Sure. Yeah. They beat the best team in hockey at the moment. Casey saying this always happens. Canucks lose the shutout in the last 2 minutes. Yeah. That was a staple of the Roberto Luongo era. Hey, the Canucks were very good at losing that shutout in the last 2 minutes, but yeah, other than that, great game. I agree. Let's see here. Justin Credible saying Canucks are winners of four of their last five, including over Toronto and Calgary. Yeah, that is surprising. Now keep in mind that Toronto game. I stand by it. The Canucks didn't deserve to win that game, but you know they beat the Sharks. They got hammered by the Ducks. They beat the Kraken again. The Sharks and the Kraken. The Sharks game again. They kind of threw away too, right? Sure, they've gotten points. They've gotten 8 points out of their last five games, which is great. But it's not like they were lights out performances, right? The game against the Leafs, they got shelled. The game against the Sharks, they almost threw away. The game is against the Kraken. It's the Kraken. That's not that impressive. And this one was a genuinely impressive win for the first time, in a little bit. So where does that take the Canucks? That takes the Canucks, nicely sitting at sixth in the division. And they are 3 points back of the Edmonton Oilers, who have two games in hand. That's pretty close, eh? They're also 3 points back of the Dallas Stars, who have two games in hand, who are sort of in that same competition for that last wild card spot. And the Predators are going to be well free. So really, for the Canucks to make it, they have to be top four in the Pacific Division, and they have to beat up the Stars, right? So they're about 4 points back of a playoff spot, two games in hand difference. But you look at who the Canucks have to play coming up here. They have the Rangers. The Rangers are a good team. They have the Devils. The Devils have been struggling, haven't they? Or have they been better? No, they're bad. The Devils are bad. So they should win against the Devils. They should beat the Islanders, although they played the Islanders about 2 weeks ago, and that didn't go too well. But then they get the Maple Leafs and the Habs. So look, it's a pretty middling schedule from here on out. They get some hot teams, some bad teams. They're still alive, but again, I wouldn't get your hopes too high. Gus saying Canucks are now 19-3-3 when they score on the power play. That is crazy. and it is just, I mean, it's kind of sad they've only scored on the power play in about half their games. But it does help. It does help you win some games. What else do we got here? Jaskrin saying, Parker, imagine if Boudreau coached the entire season and special teams were amazing like this. Here's the thing. The special teams have not really been better under Boudreau. They have been a little bit. Statistically, they've been better. The biggest thing, at least if you look at the penalty kill, which has slightly improved under Boudreau, although it's been pretty bad as of late, literally the only difference is goaltending. Everything else, they've been either the same or worse. Demko has just been better. And again, you're allowed to have a good goalie, but if your goalie has to be performing lights out for you to have a 70% save percentage, that's not very good. Again, I think personnel changes are still needed. Ryan saying, great game. Really wish we would have pushed harder for a hat trick. We had three chances, a couple power play, or three choices, and a couple of power plays. Boudreau was showing mercy, putting the fourth line out for the power play. I don't hate it, though. A lot of it comes down to, you know, Calgary's going to be a bit chippy. You probably don't want some players getting hurt. I mean, we saw at the end of the game, like, they're throwing hits with 10 seconds left, right? They're frustrated. And you might not want your best guys out for that. And look, the game's over. And if Boudreau's a believer in karma, which I don't know if he is, but that could be a reason for something like that. Talonator saying, thought this was a great game all around. Would like to see Demko get a shutout. But despite that, everyone had a great game. I really like the amount of blocked shots tonight. So let's see. Does it show me blocks? Yeah. So Canucks blocked 25 shots. The Flames blocked 17. So if you take blocks out of the equation, shots were basically even. And Corsi-wise, it was almost even. It was 68 shot attempts for Calgary, 63 shot attempts for Vancouver. So basically identical. But yeah, Canucks were getting in shooting lanes. And if we look in the blocks column, anyone standing out here? Luke Shen with 8 hits. That stands out. Also with 4 blocks. Tyler Mott, 6 blocked shots tonight. No other forward really blocked anything. Highmore had 2. Pettersson had 1. Horvat had 3. Pearson Lamkiewicz had 1. And then there's Tyler Mott with 6. He also played 18 and a half minutes tonight, which was the most out of any forward. Tyler Mott. Love to see it because he's been so, so good. Jacob saying Patterson is back. Absolutely seems that way. Top Shelf saying the power play looked so much faster and more energy. And that is true. And the thing is, it's still not like they're moving a lot. It just seems like they felt a little more confident, right? Felt like they had their chests out a little bit and they were making sharper passes. They were moving at least a little bit, right? They were going to pucks and it had a little bit more life to it. What we really need to see is how long this holds for. Because we have seen flashes from this power play, not necessarily to this extent, but we have seen flashes of this power play and it hasn't been consistent. So if the Canucks can get some consistency out of it, then they'll be in a good place, but I'm not holding my breath. Maybe too much. Let's see here. Jazz Grant saying bottom six didn't get on the score sheet, but were very noticeable. Yeah. I mean, that's what happens. You know, 4 of the goals were special teams, right? So it is kind of fair that happens. Erwin saying, I would like to have been part of the crowd on that one for sure. I do this thing every day where I pull up my phone, I go on like SeatGeek and I just like, look, I'm like, all right, how much, like if I were just to at 6 o'clock, buy a ticket and head down, it's like, $100. I could go. And I was like, I'm kind of tired. And I didn't. And I wish I did, because this looked like an awesome game to be at. But in my head before the game, I wasn't thinking that way. I was thinking, it's the Flames. The Flames are hot. That's probably going to be a loss. So I hedged my bets, unfortunately. Let's see here. Sorry, just trying to find some better questions. No offense to those of you who had left them. Scout saying, just checked in this month, the Canucks averaged 4.25 goals per game. Is that true for the month of February? And how many games they have left in February? Only 2. And one's against the Devils. They could keep that up. That is nice. The Canucks have been scoring more. Again, I haven't checked your math, but it seems reasonable. You know, they scored 4 against the Ducks, 5 against... They've scored, 16 goals in their last 3 games, 21 goals in their last 4. So yeah, they're on a bit of a heater scoring wise. And again, they just need to see it continue. They're going up against one of the best goalies in the world on Sunday, in Shesterkin. We'll probably have Halakin against the Islanders again. So we'll see what that has in store. David saying great energy across the board tonight. Team looked really, really well prepared. Too bad Demko got robbed of the shutout. Fully agree. Yeah, they did look well prepared. And that's, you never know, coming off of 2 days of rest. Calgary also came off 2 days of rest and maybe they looked a little slow because of it. It's a bit of a mixed bag on those. TB saying the defense was phenomenal tonight. Yeah, they were good. Like I said, 25 blocked shots definitely helps. They were pretty solid. Sam saying, why does it feel like the Canucks usually play a pretty solid game when they wear those sick jerseys? I think they are 4-1 now with the black skate jerseys. So it does seem to, the math sort of adds up. So statistically, and this is how stats work. There was a stats portion in one of my classes once. They've won 80% of their games with the black skate jersey, which means if they wear the black skate jerseys permanently, they will win over 60 games a year. Now, that's just math, and it's 100% true. So, Francesco, if you want playoff revenue, you get these bad boys going more often because they are fire. Now, look, are they an every game thing? This is something I struggle with because, look, the blue and green encapsulates Vancouver very well, in my opinion. And I think it's the right color scheme for a team from Vancouver. This color scheme doesn't make much sense, except that it looks absolutely sick. And you know what? That might be enough. That might be enough. So again, I got an open mind is what I'll say. At least wear them like wear them like 10, 20 games a year, right? Like wear them on like Saturday nights, right? Like something cool. That would be fun. Andrew's saying, to go from the Ducks game, which was terrible, to this in about a week. Incredible. Didn't expect much from this. This wasn't a Leafs-like game. Connects with a better team. Big players on the score sheet, two big positives. Yep, I think you're right on every account there. It is a big turnaround. To go from that performance against the Ducks just 5 days ago. That was just on Saturday that we didn't do a stream because the game was that terrible and just unfun to watch. To turn that around, to take down the Kraken pretty handily and then put up 7 on the Flames, that is pretty, pretty sweet. Fade saying, make the skate jersey full time. Where's the petition? I think Wyatt's going to be the big pusher for that. I wonder if he's on the armies tonight. Cause I know that's all he'll talk about. Like, so I kind of hope he is. But I don't have it. I don't know, but that'd be sweet. Would be sweet. John, minuses are no hat tricks and no shutout. If that's our minuses for the game, that's a pretty good game. I will say. TV saying, if Pettersson literally put this jersey on his custom hat, which he did, he put the full on jersey on it. That's a sign. Sure. I like it. Flaming Storm saying, I love the flying skate, but I think the Canucks have the best regular uniforms in the league as well. They don't have the best. They have decent jerseys. Honestly, I think the Orca gets more hate than it should because everyone's like, oh, it's a corporate Orca Bay logo. Yeah. But Orca Bay was just what they named the ownership group. It wasn't like an existing company. There are some sweet jerseys. I think these ones are genuinely better just because they pop more. They just don't scream Vancouver to me, which is sort of my only issue with them. But that's an issue I can get over pretty quickly. Fade also saying that Garland and JT Miller both said the skate jerseys should be full-time. Hey, well, when they both get traded, then what? I'm joking, kind of. let's see here. TV Fanboy likes the Kraken jerseys. I do like the Kraken jerseys. That color scheme is actually sick. Manuel saying, after the second, I said to myself, it's over. There's no way the Flames could score 5 in the third. Then I just realized the Canucks just scored 5 in the third. That's something I always have when I'm on the other side. I'm like, well, that team just, like, I think of this in like my beer league games. I'm like, hey, they just scored 4 goals on us this period. We can do it to them in the next period. Except they've been utterly dominating us and they're the better team. And then they score 4 on us again. It's like, oh, can we score 8 in the third? Probably not. Momentum is a thing. And it's a thing that lots of people will argue isn't a thing. But it's really easy to get down on yourself a little bit if your team is behind and it feels, you know, every stride feels that little bit harder when you're winning and everything feels easy when you're winning. Like it genuinely, like the game feels easier. Everything's clicking easier. And that's kind of what momentum is in my mind. And it genuinely exists. So if you're up 5-0 after 2, it's so hard for the other team to claw back in it. And I think it's more likely that you're going to get the next one barring, some penalty calls. Sharm saying, were you a bit worried in the third that more injuries could have occurred as the Flames became more aggressive and were throwing hits? A little. I always worry about that stuff a little bit, because you can see it coming a mile away, right? You know that they're gonna get into stuff like that. And again, if the Canucks were losing that bad, I'd hope they were doing, you know, I'd hope they were throwing hits and trying to be physical. I think the Canucks players are smart enough to sort of know that. These guys have played hockey forever. It is something that happens at every level of hockey, whether you are playing in Pee Wee or playing in the NHL. If a team's getting shelled, they get mad and they try to injure you. Maybe not injure you, but they want to make you feel something, right? They want to make the win feel a little bit worse for you. And that's what they do. So I wasn't too worried. I just kind of laughed because I've been there, you know? RP asking if I go to the black skaters as a regular. I think I kind of answered that already. Sorry, just sort of scrolling here. Let's see. Okay, so the elder saying Calgary made no trades at the deadline last year, nor in the offseason other than Branson. This year they're a top team. Sure. But they, it's not like they were that bad last year, though, right? right? They couldn't, their coaching was terrible. And sure, the Canucks coaching was terrible too, but we have seen, it's not like I believe in this team to be a Stanley Cup contender, you know? I don't believe in the Flames to be a Stanley Cup contender either, right? They're still going to have to go through Colorado and Tampa and Toronto and all these, you know, other really good teams. And they're going to be up there. But if someone said, like, gave me 5-1 odds on Calgary to win the cup, I don't think I'd be putting money on that at this point. So I think you keep working to build the best team you can for the longest window you can, not just for one shot at having a good year. Because if we think, oh, the Canucks could just do the same thing, they have a different coach, next year they're going to come in and they're just going to win a bunch of games and maybe they'll win the division. This team has, when a team shows you who they are, you should believe them. And this Canucks team had one good run, right? They had one good season 2 years ago. And that's the only thing that this roster has shown us, right? Genuinely. And this little flash of, you know, of 3 weeks in December and then a few games here and there. So I don't want to get too involved in the, like, all right, well, let's just, hey, we can just hold off and not trade anybody. Cause if we just bring this team back next year, they're going to be so much better. Well, they could just as well be worse, right? There's no law that says they're going to improve. People saying Devils just destroyed the Penguins. 6-1. That's not 7-1. That is not 7-1. I think that makes it more likely that the Canucks beat the Devils, to be honest. That's my hot take. Where was I? So many comments here. Justin, thoughts on the windmill stickless glove scene was one of the, yeah, it was sweet. There was a picture on Twitter that someone posted of Kirk McLean basically making the exact same save, just a little bit farther back in his crease. Looked pretty sick. Scott, who do you think deserves the belt tonight? Ooh, it's a tough one. Miller had 4 points. So that's an easy answer, although that doesn't seem to be the direction they want to go with the belt. Luke Shen blocked 8 shots. So that could be a direction that they go, although he didn't do much else tonight. He had 8 hits and 4 blocks is what I meant to say. So the most hits and the most blocks on the team, except Tyler Mott also had 6 blocked shots. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if they've given it out yet. But they definitely have some options. Have they posted it yet? No, they haven't. All right. We'll see. We'll see who it is. Sammy, I really like the Hoglander Patterson Buckholzen line. I do too. I think those three gel really well together, and I think they're getting better. Hoglander is so good on the boards, and he has struggled this year in a lot of aspects, but that's one that he's continued to impress me in, where you have him in a board battle and he just consistently feels like he's just going to win every time. He may have that great pass to Podkolzin, who was alone in the slot. So that he could have easily had an assist there. I really like the way that the three of them are playing together. Lieb saying there's been 40 goals in the last 5 Canucks games total. That is entertaining at the very least. And 28% of it was from the Ducks game. Yep, that is true. Jason saying rebound control by Demko was clean and the D were cleaning up in front very nicely. Yeah, there wasn't a lot of like prolonged chances, right, from Calgary. A lot of their stuff, and I do kind of want to look at the heat map. You know, on the heat map, there is a lot of shots from in the slot, like high danger chances in that sort of, you know, they show the home plate, right? So basically from the posts comes out to sort of the bottom of the faceoff circles and goes up to basically the point, but more like top of the faceoff circles. That's basically where all of the Flames shots came from tonight, which is scary, but it never felt that scary, at least at 5-on-5. But it never felt that scary, which is weird because normally you'd look at a heat map like that and be like, man, that's bad. But Demko handled everything really well. Like you said, there weren't like a lot of rebounds coming through. Yeah, I think everything was cleaned up pretty well. Let's see here. Lots of questions on the jerseys. Jason asking what position I play. Mostly defense, but sometimes everything. Lots of people saying bring back the yellow and the black, or bring the black and yellow and drop this logo. I don't know, guys. This logo is fire. Like in the light, look at how it shimmers. Are you kidding me? This is sick. But I see where you're coming from. Agam saying, very important question. Are you team trade or team playoffs? And none of that, wait and see. Trade. They have like a 10% chance of making the playoffs. Are you going to run out of time again? I don't think so. And I think that's the direction things are going to go. Jim is a trader. Jim likes to wheel and deal. And again, you say none of that team wait and see. They do still have a month, right? The Canucks have been hovering on the edge for a month. I think in a month, if they're still 3 points out of the playoffs, you make those trades. I think if they're 1 point in the playoffs, you make those trades. I think if they're 5 points in the playoffs, maybe you don't. But anything worse than that, and I think they're likely to not make the playoffs. So, Bruce saying the Flames better hope Markstrom doesn't get hurt before in the playoffs. I don't think that's much of a worry. I don't think Markstrom is like likely to get injured. Also, Vladar's really good. He had a rough night tonight, but he came in with no notice, right? 2 minutes to go in a period, didn't really have time to stretch. It wasn't his fault that he got shelled, right? He wasn't ready to play the game. So I think the Flames, they have a really, really good goalie tandem. Bruce saying, why do you think Hunt is on the second power play unit? I can't tell you. I genuinely cannot tell you. I've tried thinking up some reasons like, oh, well, maybe this or that. No, I can't tell you. Let's see here. David saying, of all the teams Vancouver plays, beating the Flames feels about as good as it gets. It's up there. I think beating Toronto was maybe a little better. I don't have a lot of like friends who are Flames fans though, which I think might change that for me. But I do have some Leafs fan friends. So I think it feels a little better on those ones. Why is somebody saying, okay, you guys are saying Demko got the belt. Fine by me. Fine by me. All right. Do we have any more we want to take here? I think we're going to wrap up, guys. Maybe in a sec. Hold on. How many people are in here? It's like 230 people in here, which is crazy. It's like probably our second highest ever, third highest ever. So thank you guys very much for joining me tonight. Make sure you're subscribed if you haven't already. We'll take a couple more here. The Vince Terrence saying, greetings from Toronto. With Shen's play as of late, do you feel he's more valuable as a Canuck than as a trade asset? This is actually an excellent question. And I'm sad that I said we're wrapping up because I feel like a few people probably dropped off. It's tricky. He is signed through next year, and he's free, right? It's what makes about like 800K, if I'm not mistaken. He makes 850K through next year. So basically a free asset. If he starts to suck, you send him to the minors and it literally costs you nothing. As a trade asset, I don't know what other teams are offering for a guy like Luke Shen. He's a guy who would be a really valuable like sixth or seventh defenseman on a playoff team. But if the Canucks think that next year is going to be a bit of a turnaround, if they think they're going to be pushing for the playoffs next year, or if they just want some stability for Quinn Hughes. And I think that's the most valuable part of Luke Shen, is he's a guy who's excellent in the locker room. He blocks 5 shots a game. He gets 12 hits a game, apparently. And he's a bit of a piece of stability next to Quinn Hughes. Is that worth more than a third round pick? Right? Or a second? I don't think you're going to get a second for Luke Shen, but let's say a third round pick. To me, maybe not. And I think maybe you don't trade him for that reason. But again, you can also find more guys like Luke Shen for cheap, right? You can go out and sign someone in free agency for $1 million, like they did with Luke Shen, right? You can go out and sign 7 different cheap defensemen at the start of free agency and hope one of them ends up playing as well as Luke Shen did, because literally what the Canucks did this last offseason. So personally, I am really liking Luke Shen. I think it would take a nice little payment. If they are going to take Luke Shen, but I think he's a lot of value as sort of a dad of this team. And with that, we're going to wrap up. So thank you guys very much for joining me tonight. If you enjoyed the stream, like I said, make sure you subscribe, hit the like button, do all that good stuff. If you missed any part of it, and I know a lot of you did, because again, I see that graph go up throughout the show. You can rewind back to the beginning here on YouTube, or it will be up on your favorite podcast platform. Just type in Parker's Pucks, or there's a link in the description to Apple and Spotify. Also, if you could leave me 5 stars on Apple, that'd be pretty sick. I don't think I ever asked for that, so that would be cool if some of you went and did that. Just go to the Apple link and hit the little 5 stars in your podcast app, and maybe say something nice, and I'll read it. And you know, you guys, you know, that sort of thing. Also, if you guys are interested, there are memberships to the channel. If you want to throw me $3 a month, it is entirely optional, and it's totally an extra thing. That's a little join button down below. Otherwise, I'm just happy you guys are here. I will see you guys. When do the Canucks play next? Saturday? Sunday? They don't play till Sunday. Sunday, they play at 4:30 against the Rangers. So we'll be live at around 7:15 Pacific. So I hope you guys have a lovely, lovely evening. And I'll talk to you next time.